At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Talk Yankees and Mets all season long. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
A lot of Mets and Yankees to start. The negative kind. Rewind on the Odyssey app if you've missed any of it. But really, the line of demarcation for both of these teams becoming god-awful is June 13th. Friday the 13th, coincidentally, the same day Sean and I debated who the best team in baseball was. Well, the best team in New York was. The Mets since that date are 18-31.
18 wins, that's it?
18-31. It is the third worst record in baseball. Only the Nationals and Rockies are worse, and there's only a one-game difference. The Yankees have the fifth worst record since that date. The Mets are 18-31. The Yankees are 20-31.
So I was right.
About what?
The Yankees were the best team in New York.
Yeah, well, by a full game and two wins, you are right. But when you try to define why this has happened to both teams, a lot of reasons are given. Obviously, the Mets have not gotten a lot of deep starting pitching. But one of the biggest reasons why this is happening, and I don't think it gets enough attention, and it certainly was exposed this weekend. It is very difficult to not walk away from this weekend thinking about one particular person. And that particular person, unfortunately, is Francisco Lindor. Because since that day, same date of June 13th, Francisco Lindor is hitting 194. He has an ungodly OPS of 607. He has struck out 51 times to 14 walks. He's been awful. And the reason why this weekend it became even more obvious is, A, he didn't get a hit, including a lot of big moments, striking out looking on Friday, the double play, and then obviously the error that changed Saturday's game. Right. So I love Francisco Lindor, but he has been an albatross. He's been awful. And all I can think about is, thank God the Mets didn't name him captain on David Wright Day. Could you imagine the heat he'd be taking?
You're right. I hadn't thought of that.
If they had made that announcement?
Way more pressure. And you're right. I think because of Lindor's great moments last year, we have all given him, I think, a deserved pass at times. But when you want to talk about what has gone wrong for the Mets offensively, he, for better or worse, is literally their tone setter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, everything starts with Lindor being hot.
And you hit on the reason why he hasn't taken as much heat, and rightfully so. I mean, Francisco Lindor was a hero last year.
Sure.
He put a cape on. I mean, the moments he supplied us, whether it was the Grand Slam against the Phillies, game 161, breaking up the no-hitter against the Blue Jays, which is very underrated.
And moments you'll have forever. It's not
forever.
Just a one-year thing.
I agree.
Close your eyes, and when you think of Lindor, you'll always think of those moments.
100%. I think that's why sports talk radio and social media, while there have been critiques of Lindor, it's not like we're completely ignoring it, it hasn't been like the number one thing. I mean, Juan Soto's taken more arrows than Francisco Lindor recently. Meanwhile, Soto basically hits a home run every day,
even if
they happen to be solo.
I was just saying, nobody on when he does them.
But he's still doing it.
Juan Solo.
Like, here's the thing about Juan Solo over the weekend. Juan Solo's first home run, which was a solo shot, was in the first inning, game of 1-0 lead. Like, you can't say that doesn't matter.
Right.
And then he had a home run that gave them the lead, I think, in the fifth inning of game two. And then Sunday, he had a bunch of bases.
Right.
So it's not as if he's 0-15 and struggling. Lindor is. Right now, Francisco Lindor is one of, if not the biggest issue, facing the New York Mets.
And he lines out right away in the ninth inning yesterday, as you could feel the walls starting to cave in. Didn't set the tone in that inning either.
He doesn't set the tone. I mean, the tone he has set has been garbage lately.
Right.
There's no denying it. Now, I'm not trading him. I'm not telling you at the end of the season, get rid of him. I'm not even dropping him in the order. It's more just they need him to wake up. Now, the injury. I want to address the injury thing because that's a big deal. Were you about to say that, Tommy?
I was just about to say that because he hurt the pinky toe 10 days before the struggle started.
That's the key, okay? Because we got to get the facts out there and then we can all decide. So 10 days before this started, he got hit by a pitch, I think it was, in LA, missed very little time, if any, and then immediately came back and hit. So for about a week, Lindor was hot. Then the stench began on June 13th. So we could all make our decision, like, is it injury related? I'm so not an athlete. Maybe you could convince me that, well, he didn't feel it for the first 7 days, and then it really started to sink in. I don't know.
It's also important he returned against the Colorado Rockies.
All counts the same, though, bro.
It does all count the same, but I think that's important for context, the team he was facing when he first got back.
But then he hit after that, too, right?
But also, for a couple days.
But that's my point. Like, he was hitting right after the injury.
But how many times have we seen injuries in any sport where it's the idea of the wear and tear on it as it goes on, where maybe it's just like, this could get worse if you keep playing through it, and he had the immediate adrenaline boost, and it's gotten worse.
That's why I'm not saying it's not the injury. I just want the proper context.
Yeah.
And you supplied it, which is fair. Like, he got hurt 10 days before this massive slump began. And you could tell, we saw something from Lindor the other day we never see. After he made that egregious error that changed the entire game on Saturday, he went back in the dugout and had a hissy fit. He pulled what we like to call a McNeil.
Yeah.
It's actually a phrase. And I think we all saw it and said, whoa, we don't see that from him very often. I was hoping.
I found it refreshing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought it was refreshing, too. I was hoping it was going to lead to something. I don't know, like a base hit. I don't know, like some kind of production. It did not. So hissy fits only go so far. The reason why Yankee fans love Paul O'Neill is not because he had hissy fits. It's because he backed it up.
Yes.
Because after said fit, he would produce.
No doubt.
So they need Francisco Lindor to wake up. Hopefully it is not injury related. Hopefully it's just Lindor is streaky and he's about to wake up and get hot.
And not for nothing. If it is injury related, that's on the Mets as well. Sometimes you got to protect yourself from an athlete. We just saw this. I know it was a much different injury on the Yankee side of things, and they never handle injuries right. Lindor shouldn't have any shame in, like, a two-week off IL stint helping him for the better of the long run of the team, too.
Yeah, this is the challenge you face. I always think back to Beltran's first year with the Mets. He was hurt, and he played through it, and he wasn't good. Then later in his Met career, when he wouldn't play through injuries, he'd also be criticized.
Yeah.
So it's almost pick your poison.
Okay, but if you were a Met fan today and you found out, you know what, we're shutting Lindor down for 10 days. Now, we'd all have panic. And everything, but
if it was right now,
yes,
I mean, it would be more concerning than if they did this in like mid-June when they were in a good place.
But what if I told you got the best September imaginable out of Lindor on the other end?
Well, obviously, it'd be worth it,
right?
Okay,
well, I just think that maybe that's something you should consider if it is related.
Well, but
to
that's the thing, because every time Lindor has been asked or Mendoza's been asked, they are not. And they also don't want to make an excuse.
Right.
I get that. It looks bad if you say that's the case.
But forget asking. They have an entire team, a medical team, trainers. Somebody make a freaking call here and figure this out. Because if it's not, then this is just a really bad stretch that, unfortunately, I don't see how it turns around with 6 weeks.
Well, and the other thing is, Lindor, and you can say this about a lot of great players, like Judge's, King Judge is a great example of this, where King Judge is such a good player that even when he's not hitting, his presence in the lineup makes a difference. Lindor's defense has been hurt by this. That error he made on Saturday was egregious. It killed them. And that wasn't the only one. They didn't call an error on Ronnie Mauricio, but my God, he's got to make that play.
And
he was just put in for defense.
Right.
So they got to get Lindor going, and it's right now one of their biggest issues, if not their biggest issue.
Lindor's also the type of guy that never wants to not be in the lineup. Like, the only reason he missed games last year is because he couldn't move with the back injury. He was, like, physically unable to play. And you love that about him. If this is injury related, here's a spot where in June, taking 2 weeks off for the greater good of the season probably was the shrewder move to do. I forgot all about the back injury last year. He basically came right back out of that and hit for the Mets. It was one of the hottest hitters right out. So maybe it's not injury related with the pain.
It may not be.
If you could rebound off a back and pretty much hit right away. Remember when he came back to the lineup? I think it was within a couple of days he became so red hot again. How could
But he did take a little bit of time. He took no time off for the toe. I think he missed a game.
But he barely missed anything.
Right. When we were worried, is he going to be all right for the playoffs? He took off in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on the timeline on that?
No, no. He missed time last year. Did that help him?
Right, heal?
And think about when he missed time. He missed time at the worst possible time. The Mets were in a blood fight. Yeah.
But Evan could speak to this with the bad back. Don't backs kind of come and go? One day you might feel amazing. The next day you may feel awful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We don't know about a pinky toe. Sean, I could break your pinky toe right now. We could
I've
have like,
had
a little
a
bit of
a pinky toe before. God.
And?
It hurt like hell.
All right. Well,
but it's still the one that went wee-wee-wee all the way home.
Oh, boy.
I don't know the answer, and like I said, most Met fans don't care. What matters are the results. I lean towards the fact that while I love Francisco, he's a very streaky player, and he's been like that since he's gotten here. He's been very, very streaky, and unfortunately, this is a two-month streak, which, hey, last year he had a two-month streak, too. The difference was it was early in the season. It was at the beginning of the season. But his slump has corresponded with the Mets being the third-worst team in Major League Baseball.
You'd be proud of me, by the way. Saved my dog's life when I broke my pinky toe.
How's that?
I was holding my Pomeranian at the time, fell down the stairs at my parents' house, and I was going to land stomach first on top of this dog and squish the dog to death. I pivoted my body in bare feet, took a hard fall on a wood floor, and drilled my toe into a wall.
That's a hero.
I am. I am an American hero.
I feel like we would all do that. Like, we would put our dogs and our kids, obviously, before our own health.
Yep. Broke my toe to save a dog.
Yeah. I fell down the stairs once while holding Spence, and he was a baby. And I kind of did the same thing where I lifted him
lifted
up.
Like the Lion King?
Yeah. Like, I was lying. I was lifting him up so that he didn't feel anything. Yeah. I just crushed down to the ground, and he barely noticed. He didn't even cry. He was like,
unbelievable.
Goo goo gaga.
We're heroes.
Harold is calling from Atlantic City. Good afternoon, Harold.
Evan and Sean, thank you guys for taking my call. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I wish Tiki was there. He's my favorite, but I you know, don't take it personal.
He's all of our favorites. Don't you worry.
Fair enough. So I want to just give you my thoughts on the Yankees. Evan, to your point about any team can get in, and if you get in, anything's possible. As much as I agree with you, I'm going to tell you why I think the Yankees not only won't, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And it comes down to consistency. Like, would you guys agree that the Yankees have a talented enough roster?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And would you also agree that baseball is a rhythm and momentum sport?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I take you back to, I wanted to say it was the Seattle series about a month ago. And if I'm off on dates and numbers, I apologize. But do you remember how many runs we scored in that Seattle series?
Yes, you scored 25 runs in three games.
One of those games you were getting no hit in, though, let's remember.
Doesn't matter. I mean, he asked the question. They scored 25 runs in three games.
Fair enough, but it was an offensively explosive series. And prior to that, I don't think we scored that many runs dating back to, like, May. And what was different about that series? Was that not the week that we DFA'd LeMahieu?
I think it was right around that time, but I also remember it was the time where they were leading off Dominguez.
Correct, and they weren't that, facing left.
And you're going into my next point. You brought me right to my next point. I think Dominguez led two or all three, led off two out of three or all three
all
of those
three.
Games.
All three.
In that series, that was the most consistent lineup they played, I think, the entire season.
Yeah.
And then who did they put? And I want to say Bellinger was on a 15-game hitting streak.
Yeah, and then that next night, remember that Friday night was when they scored a ton of runs versus the Cubs. They kept that lineup and then switched it up Saturday and went into the...
Exactly. And then immediately following that, they went right back to put... I thought for a minute they became self-aware.
Well, no,
but they didn't. They were just facing
righties, Harold, is what happened.
Yeah, well, because when they do face a lefty, based on Goldschmidt's complete ownage of left-handed pitching... You have to lead him off. A, you got to play him. And then B, you want him to get as many plate appearances against said lefty as possible because he's hitting over 400 against them.
No doubt.
So the point is, and he brings up a very popular point amongst Yankee fans, which is Aaron Boone changes the lineup way too much. And if you look at the last few years, he's always changed the lineup a lot. This year's obscene. Well, this year's on another level because not one person, including the King himself, has a consistent spot in the batting order.
I do think
unlike last year where Soto and King Judge were constantly back-to-back.
I do think that's an issue, but I also think, again, it's a roster construction issue. They're not doing this because they just want to like be nice to a bunch of players. They're doing it because the numbers do dictate it. Look, I fought the Dominguez thing hard enough. I think he is a momentum player. I do think if he could play and lead off every day, ultimately he would get better at some point, even though I think probably he should give up switch hitting. But, man, like, You can't sit Goldschmidt versus lefties. He's got to play, but he's not the same versus righties. Their roster dictates that their numbers are not good versus certain starting pitching, and you have to change up the line.
I agree with certain aspects of it, but let's look at the King himself. I mean, King Aaron Judge
who's hitting second tonight.
Well, he's batted second 51 times. He's batted third 56 times. We have seen a clear movement of Judge while a year ago, he constantly batted third.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. There's a lot of other pieces that have moved around based on who they're facing. But even the King himself gets jerked back and forth between the two spots.
Yeah. There is no consistency. Jazz Chisholm could hit fourth. Now he's hitting sixth tonight. You're right. It just doesn't stop.
But here's the issue with this. So Carlos Mendoza in his time here has been actually pretty consistent with his lineup. He made that change last year to Lindor to the leadoff spot, stuck with it. It was the same crew basically the entire season. This year, starts off with the same crew. Makes a change once they're slumping, waits, makes another change once they're slumping. But if he didn't make any changes, wouldn't we be screaming, you got to change something?
Yes.
You got to try something?
You're right.
Now, the one thing Mendy won't do, and it pisses me off to no end, is lead off Juan Soto. He should lead off. He's been amazing with nobody on base. He also steals bases. Take the pressure off him. It also gets Lindor up with guys on base constantly since Juan Soto is walking 40% of the time.
Juan Soto.
Like, I would totally do it. And by the way, for anyone listening, I don't necessarily call him Juan Soto as a negative thing.
Juan Soto.
Like, it's a statistical observation.
It's just what he's doing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, like, the two solo home runs he hit this weekend were great. I'm not throwing them back.
Mm-hmm.
So some solo home runs are more important than other solo home runs. So let's not take it too personal.
It feels passive-aggressive, which you can be at times, and backhanded.
I think it's both. I can't it be negative and positive all at the same time?
No. It's what? Either positive or negative, and I think
No. Why can't it be both?
What is positive about a solo home run over the course of a season?
Because a lot of those solo home runs have been clutch. I'd be the first to tell you.
Isn't any home run and a run itself a positive thing?
Absolutely, especially when it's 0-0 and you give a team a 1-0 lead or you give your team a lead in the fifth or the sixth or the seventh inning.
I actually take Juan Soto as a nickname to be a negative on the rest of the team. He can only come up to bat and drive in. Well, obviously his runners are scoring because I'm going to sway this argument.
Because they're terrible.
But, you know. Those times he's hitting a homer, where isn't anybody in front of him?
That was my point, because when you look at it as, you know, the 10,000-seat view here is that he has struggled with runners in scoring position, so when you call him Juan Soto, it feels like a little bit of a slight and a jab.
Quick question. This is a programming question. I said this on a panel 3 weeks ago with Tiki Barber and the architect of this radio station.
panel.
Yeah, it was a panel talking about, like, radio, our shows, podcast thing, all that kind of stuff. And Tiki was bringing up how sometimes Evan says, this is for the Rico, this is for Evan and Tiki. And so I gave the architect an example live on this panel. Like, if I said, we're going to break down, blah, 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 is that a Rico or afternoon drive? And he's like, well, that's a Rico topic. And then I gave him another one. He's like, no, it's an Evan and Tiki topic.
Okay.
So I want to play that game with you guys real quick.
All right.
Since we're talking about Juan Soto. If I told you that I have a sheet of paper in front of me right now that describes every solo home run Juan Soto has hit this season, would you say going through that is a Rico thing?
I'm a loser.
Or something worth hearing about now since we're talking about
it? Okay. My gut is Rico, but when you say describe, what do you mean by describe them?
Like, for example, his first solo home run on March 28th against the Astros occurred with the Mets up 2-0 in the top of the third inning.
Juan Soto.
Made it 3-0. It's a game they won 3-1. Is that a positive solo home run?
Okay, unfortunately.
That's a Rico?
There's too many solo home runs to do that here.
There's a ton of them.
I think that's the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think anytime Evan starts with, I have a full list on a sheet of piece of paper that, you know, describes things that have happened throughout the season, that's a Rico topic.
Okay.
In the weeds.
I'm only asking because you guys are talking about it, and that's great to know. It gives me more material for the Rico.
It also should remain a reference point, I think, going forward.
What does that mean?
Like, you don't have to list them all here, but if this is an argument that continues over the next 3-4 weeks, you could, you know, pull four out of your pocket and dump us on
okay.
that.
And my question would be, much like the King Aaron Judge, is this now a show mandate that we have to call Juan Soto Juan Soto? Is that something that you're making a proclamation for
here? I don't know. Joe B's already doing it on Saturdays.
Juan Soto.
The virus has spread, some may say.
Also, very hard to call a guy King if you don't make the playoffs, too, if we're being honest.
Do you think the King's going to lose his crown if the Yankees miss the playoffs?
We could have that conversation.
Well, I thought we were going to re-vote based on that anyway. If the Yankees didn't win the World Series, I thought there was going to be a recount here at the station.
Now, the other guy, I think, look, and we're getting to this, we're very much nearing the time to declare.
Jackson Dart, the new King of New York.
I was going to say Abdul Carter, but nonetheless.
Can you get used to saying this real quick? King Fields. Can you say it with me?
No.
King Fields.
King Carter.
Okay. Whatever you say. This is how sad we are. We're going into preseason football. Let's call them King mode. How about this one? You don't have to do this. This is for Tommy. Can you try King Igor Demin? Can you try that? It's actually Demin. Igor Demin. You want to try that?
Who?
King Igor.
Let's isn't it like Doman?
Yeah.
Isn't it Doman or
what
something?
What do you mean?
Isn't that how you pronounce it?
The last name?
Yeah.
Is it Doman?
I think it's Doman.
Who are we talking about?
One of the Nets' 15 first-round picks, Tommy.
How about King Troyer? Is that correct?
Troyer.
And when will this guy be in the league? 2045?
The problem with the Nets is they got so many freaking guys, we can't pronounce any of their freaking names.
I think they could do something in a preseason game.
And then there's just Danny Wolf.
Danny Wolf's the fun one.
The Nets still in the league.
Yeah, let's go with that. King Wolf.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
We'll get to the football in a little bit. A very positive Saturday for Giant fans and Jet fans. And we'll get back to your calls in a few minutes as well. 888-808-1019. If you've missed any of the show, you can rewind it on the Odyssey app. But I am a huge fan. I've always been a huge fan of Old Timers Day or the Alumni Classic, whatever it is now being referred to. And so I was sad when the Yankees took the game away for the last 5.5 years. I was ecstatic when the Mets brought theirs back just a couple of years ago. I love it. When the Mets had their return to Old Timers Day, I couldn't wait to go. I was there. I remember in the early 90s, my dad taking me to Old Timers Day for the Mets, and I've been fortunate enough to have been to an Old Timers Day with the Yankees. I love it. I love the history of the sport. I think it's freaking amazing. I love watching the old men play baseball. Okay? So I say this as just being honest about the world, not my personal opinion.
Right.
But Old Timers Day needs to be canceled by the New York Yankees. They were right to can the game. And the reason they're right has nothing to do with Mariano Rivera tearing his Achilles.
Yeesh.
I feel bad for Mariano. It happens. There's obviously a risk of injury when you're old and out of shape, and now you're playing baseball. No offense to Mariano, but he's kind of old and out of shape.
He looked in shape, but yeah.
He does for us, but, yeah. I mean, did Johnny Damon look in shape?
No, Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon looked like John Daly in Happy Gilmore 2.
He did. But the reason why Old Timers Day needs to be canceled is you guys, I'm talking about the people listening, you don't care.
You're right.
I watched it on DVR. It was very late, and I was mortified by how nobody was there. Here comes poor Michael Kay out to announce all these legends, and there's 15 people there.
It's nothing new, Evan. It's nothing new.
This has been going on for a while.
Yeah, I've been to countless Old Timers Day, and full disclosure, you're better than me, because I had to catch up on preseason football. I still haven't watched the introductions in the actual Old Timers Day.
Really?
I've seen a couple clips on social media. I had too much going on Saturday, and too much backloaded on DVR, let's just say.
You prioritize Jackson Dart
of course.
Over old men trying to play baseball?
I did. I watched every pitch of the Mets and Yankees, the actual teams. I didn't get to any of the Old Timers Day stuff, and I do want to see the intros, but having been to multiple Old Timers Days, even in recent years when they took away the game, even before they took away the game, it's unfathomable. You get tickets to this game on a Saturday. You're supposed to be a Yankee fan. And if the stadium holds 44,000 and that stadium is filled with those 44,000, whatever that number is, by 2 o'clock when the regular game starts, I can't believe how it's only 8,000 to 10,000 people through those gates for this Old Timers Day.
Well, it shows you no one cares.
When I grew up, it meant something. It meant, hey, you got tickets to Old Timers Day. You were in for Old Timers Day. No, you're right. Nobody cares anymore. Now, I don't know if it's an actual Yankee fan thing or if it's just further proof that, you know, on a summer Saturday, it's more of a, hey, I get to go to Yankee Stadium and I'm a Yankee fan, but am I a Yankee fan kind of thing?
Right.
There has to be something to that because I can't imagine being a diehard Yankee fan having tickets to Old Timers Day and going, you know what? I love Billy's and Stan's. I'm going to stay out there until the real game starts. That doesn't make it. Why would you go then? Why would you go to Old Timers Day?
It proves that most people don't care. Now, the Mets have an alumni classic Old Timers game on the Saturday, September 13th is the date. And I would assume because the classic, the Old Timers Day is still unique because they've only had one in the last 30 years that the place will be packed.
And it is Citi Field versus Shea, too, which is kind of a cool concept, right?
Yeah, but I mean, a reunion of a world championship team that won a Subway Series is cool. That's not cool?
This is where we're pigs, though. The reunion happens every year.
That's a fair point.
I'm serious. No, it does. Every year it feels like they're honoring a World Series team. And we've seen, I mean, I love O'Neal. You love Tina.
He's always there.
How many times I got to cheer for them?
No, I got you. I got you. It was sad.
Maybe
because
it's like the dunk contest. It needs to go away for a few years.
Well, but they did that. This was the first game in five years.
They still introduced guys on the field. And they tipped a cap and they had the
question. Oh, so it's all got to go away.
Yes. I think the whole concept.
It's a shame I say this with pain because I love it. Like I told you guys, I was listening to the product we put out there, which you can download as a podcast, where Susan and Dave were talking to all the legends. I thought it was great stuff.
Yeah.
And I watched the game. And I was backloaded on stuff to DVR, too, but that was one of the things I really wanted to watch. And the game was ugly, like, I'll admit it. I didn't watch every second of it, but I put it on out of interest. And I know if I had tickets and I was going, I would have been there. There was nobody in the seats.
And I also think that the current team's play hurts the vibes, too. You're not as jazzed up to spend 6 hours in Yankee Stadium when a lot of Yankee fans are looking to put some beers in their belly, go in there and go, we just got to get through this. I bought these tickets in April.
It feels like an excuse.
And we're also not going to acknowledge the other thing from Old Timers Day, too.
What's that?
Pulling Aaron Boone.
What do you mean pulling Aaron Boone?
Are you not aware of this?
No, I must have missed it. What happened?
Aaron Boone was on the list of guys that were going to be introduced. And after his decision Friday night with Devin Williams, Aaron Boone suddenly vanished from the list and was not introduced at Old Timers Day.
Well, why would he even be on the list? Like, I know he's an old timer, but he's the manager of the team. He's busy.
Girardi did it a ton, and Boone's done it a ton when they were there.
So that's what you think is the reason that it happened?
What else would be the reason?
But by the way, even if the crowd booed Aaron Boone, it would sound like they're saying his name.
Oh, stop. Boom! The Yankees are no strangers to PR. They know the deal. That would have been that would have overshadowed the good of Old Timers.
You know why I don't care? It doesn't bother me. Like, I know he's a part of this epic moment in Yankee history. But there's nothing special about seeing Aaron Boone. He's the manager of the team. I don't need him to be announced.
Here's the problem, Evan. Well, the coolest thing about Old Timers Day is not seeing Bernie Williams or Andy Pettit. It's when the unique guys that had won, like when Aaron Small came out. Like,
or Roger Clemens for the first time.
Exactly. Those are cool. Like Soriano, okay, that's cool. Boone at one point was a cool one to come out because of the homer.
Yeah.
Now it's just a guitar.
That's fair. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Derek Jeter wasn't there, as we've discovered. But he was there. He recorded a video. So for those that missed Derek Jeter, take a listen to what Derek said when he was introduced via pre-recorded videotape.
Sorry I couldn't be there in person this year, but I do want to reach out and say what's up to my teammates in the 2000 World Series Championship team. It is hard to believe it's been 25 years. 26th title in franchise history. Last team to win three in a row. Quite frankly, might be the last time you see a team win three in a row. And we beat the Mets on top of it. And to the Yankee fans, thank you as always for being so passionate, energetic, and undoubtedly the greatest fans in the world. I hope to see you guys soon.
All right, a couple of things about this.
Oh, how cheap a pop.
I mean, a Mets cheap pop, Derek? I mean, this is the guy who in his documentary said, they were the Mets! They're the Mets!
Even I'm embarrassed as a Yankee fan for that. That was cringe.
Really?
It was.
I'm surprised you said that. I thought you would like give him the pop for the
no,
cheap pop.
No, because you know what? It's not. I'm sorry. Again, I'm going to come into it. It's not his fault that it's Alzheimer's Day, and it's not his fault that that was the World Series 25 years ago. Not the time or place. You know, the Yankees are. No, because you don't want us fighting. We don't want to be fighting Derek Jeter's fight versus Mets fans. We both suck right now. I'm going to dunk on the Mets while we stink.
There really is no fight. We lost the World Series. Yeah. I mean, what are we fight? We're going to re-litigate Clemens throwing the bat, which we've done. Like, what are we going to do? You got the last laugh on the whole thing.
And you can tell nobody's there because it sounds like six people gave him a big cheer for that.
Well, that's the thing. This radio station, I was a part of it, made a big deal about Jeter not coming. Like, how could he not come? Knowing what I know now, that no one cared about the game and no one was in the stands, good for Jeter. Because I'll tell you this, if I canceled one of my son's birthday parties to do a WFN Old Timers Day and everyone was there and like, oh, Evan, you got to come. You know, you've been
that's
there.
That's a cool idea, by the way.
It's a very cool idea. Imagine bike, dog, and all that. If I showed up and no one was there, I'd say, I canceled my kid's party for this.
Yeah, there's probably more people at Jeter's kid's party.
Probably. So I think this exonerates Derek Jeter. Why should he cancel his freaking daughter's birthday to show up for nine people that are sitting there watching it? I'm on Jeter's side. He convinced me.
It is. Unless it's more about the weekend for these guys kind of reuniting and getting together. But my guess is they probably see each other plenty at Turks and Caicos anyway. You know what I mean?
Who?
Like Jeter and friends.
Oh, yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah, like... I'm sure Jeter and Posada don't need to see each other in the Bronx once every year. I'm sure they get together at some point at much nicer places.
Yeah, I bet you're right. But I want to exonerate him. I think that being there shows that I may love Old Timers Day. Maybe some people in the audience do, but the mass majority of people don't. There was no one there.
And Boomer killed him. Boomer couldn't even bother to watch. He's out there golfing.
But who did watch? You didn't even watch.
No. And I didn't have the care to. I've seen the current Yankees play bad enough baseball. I don't need 50-year-old men playing worse version.
And it's crazy. I've told you that I'm so excited for Mets Old Timers Day, but I cannot go. And it's kind of coincidental that my reason for not being able to go is my kid's birthday party.
Insane.
So, Derek, I feel you, bro.
Well, Tommy will be there, I'm sure.
To what?
To Mets Old Timers Day.
Are you going Old Timers Day?
So far, nobody's offered me up free tickets, so I'm a maybe. If somebody does, I wouldn't say I'd be happy to go because unlike you two, I could care less about watching, I don't know, Benny Agbayani.
Really?
On a Saturday afternoon. It doesn't give me the feels. And I'll be fair here.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
If you're a Yankee fan, getting to see when these guys are alive, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, that's really cool. No disrespect to any Met legend. Is there anyone right now currently that's alive that is a Met legend that you would go out of your way to be like, yeah, I can't wait to go see them walk around the bases?
No, but
you know what I mean? Like that's what made the Yankees so special, is because we're talking about the legendary players of the game.
You don't want to see Piazza step into the batter's box?
I love Super Joe, and we just saw him at David Wright's thing, but I don't need to see Joe McEwing, you know, shagging fly balls.
See, that's kind of sad that you feel that way, because because we all know the Mets don't have the Yankees history. I mean, that goes without saying. Look at the home run record that was just tied. It's the third lowest of all the teams in baseball.
But
it's still ours. It's still our record. And so our legends are obviously not Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig. We all get that. Babe Ruth, we understand. But they're our legends, and it's still special and cool to see our
guys. But I'm also like that with wrestling. I don't need to see, you know, Duke the Dumpster Drozzi at the Royal Rumble. I'm more about, like, what's going on currently. I don't need to. They could have their day. They could have their moment. They could have their game. I just personally, as a fan, don't need to go down memory lane.
So if I gave you, and I'm not, just spoiler alert.
But you have four tickets, just a reminder.
I do. I have four tickets. Yeah. I'm going to sell them because,
unfortunately,
I can't go because of a son's birthday party. I can't believe I have a Jeter excuse.
Unbelievable.
Is Boomer going to make me feel like a scum?
And you know what? When you really think about the history of both teams, Evan is probably just as important to the Mets' history as Jeter is the Yankees.
That's ridiculous, but whatever.
Yeah.
If I gave you tickets, hypothetically,
okay,
would you actually say, yeah, Mets Rangers, cool, would you miss the old timers day and just show up for the game like Yankee Stadium?
What's the date on this again?
Saturday, September 30th.
All right, I got to check my schedule. Let me see. Dinner with myself. Can't cancel that again. I'm just going to have to get back to you on that. That's not, my Saturdays in the fall are very booked up, too.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
So you're just like every other Yankee fan.
Well,
which is sad.
Right. I'm part of the masses here.
I wonder, are you not going to get maybe the value you think you're going to get on this resale ticket? Maybe the Mets fans won't sell it out?
So the way this goes is someone that is a season ticket holder and unfortunately has to sell tickets. Otherwise, my wife would basically say, she'd either leave me or tell me, you can't be a season ticket holder. I go to a lot of games, but it's still not every game. Right now, the early returns look like it is a hot ticket.
Okay.
But I also think what could be going on here is the possibility that Jacob DeGrom makes his return to Citi Field pitching-wise. Obviously, he'll be there for the Texas Rangers video tribute, but he's made all his starts this season. He's been healthy, so you knock on wood, he very well could pitch in one of those games. So I wonder if the market for that game could go even higher if DeGrom is pitching. And also the state of the team you guys talked about. I mean, if the Mets are in the tank and all of a sudden they're trailing the Reds by 3.5 games, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. All I know is I do love it. I think it's awesome. But clearly the people don't necessarily agree. Let's go to David in New Canaan. What's up, David?
Evan, you got to help all us Mets fans when it comes to the future of the broadcast booth. For some reason, somebody at SNY doesn't have the big boy pants on to tell our friend Steve Gelbs that as good a job as he does in the stands, he is not a play-by-play announcer.
Don't do this.
He is not going to be Gary Cohn. He is not going to be any of these elite guys, and the Mets deserve an elite play-by-play guy. And I just would like to see somebody on the Mets just sit down and have a real conversation about the future of the broadcast.
David, couple of things, all right? Steve Gelbs is in the toughest spot a human being can be in because Gary Cohen, pound for pound, may be one of the great broadcasters of all time. Like, I don't think that's hyperbolic. I think he's up there. So anyone who sits in on those days where Gary gets a well-deserved vacation, they're in an upward battle. So I don't think it's fair to judge Gelbs and how he did over the weekend, because even me, as I try to say, hey, how did Gelbs do? I'm watching every pitch. Right. It's not fair for me to judge him because he's being matched up with Gary Cohen, who does basically every game. Obviously, Gary is not retiring. It's not like SNY is making the decision tomorrow on who replaces him. So can we just let the guy kind of live?
Yeah, because have his moments when he gets his chances.
It's a tough spot.
Of course it is.
Gary's one of the best of all time. I'll tell you this. I think Todd Zeal's kind of in the same boat. When he fills in for Ronnie and Keith, I think that the chemistry of those three guys, whether it's two of them or three of them, is so amazing that anyone who fills in is going to let it kind of sound like, that's not as good.
Also, I don't turn on a game when Steve Gelbs is calling it and go, oh, man, this broadcast leaves a lot to be desired. You're right. It's just because of who he's replacing. He's fine.
Let's go to Lou in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
And a good Ranger fan.
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking the call.
No problem.
Listen, on the old-timers game, I enjoyed it very much. I actually did my walk earlier so I could watch the entire thing because it's very nostalgic, you know, okay? And you know what? Derek Jeter is one of the reasons why the stadium was half empty because he couldn't, then the Yankees made you a millionaire, make the person that you are today, and you have to appreciate that. You couldn't. Your daughter, you couldn't move that into another day or...
Lou, I
but okay, I, but listen, but Evan, that's because you're going to have a birthday for your son, too. But let me go to the Yankees. Let me go to the Yankees then, okay?
Yeah.
Sean Morash is 100% right. The team that we got right now, Posada, Derek Jeter, nobody has the right to say that this team doesn't have any guts because they played for a loaded team, okay? That team, even though those guys were in this team right now, we'd be in the same position right now because this team, the infielder sucks. There are three catchers that can't even hit over 240, okay? And it's all about launch angles and home run. That winning team that we have patience, okay, make contact, and hit for power.
You know what they had, Lou? They had everything because what I'm enamored by the late 90s Yankees teams, the team I hated. I mean, growing up, high school, being made fun of, being a Met fan and living in the Yankee shadow, I have never hated a team as much as I hated the late 90s Yankees. But I'm older now, I'm wiser now, and what I could tell you is I may live a long time, hopefully I do, you may live a long time, the kids listening hopefully live a long time, you will never see a team as good. You just won't.
They were ahead of the curve with the bullpen, too.
And they were good, though, for every reason. Their bullpen was loaded. They had the greatest closer of all time. They had good, deep starting pitching. Mm-hmm. They had a lineup that just kept coming and coming and coming. Like, there were no breaks. Deep counts, long counts. And were they tough, too? Sure. Jorge Posada was ready to fight. A-Rod and Jason Varitek were ready to fight.
Daryl Strawberry off the bench, ready to fight.
Graham Lloyd, Daryl's like, so they, to me, had everything. And I don't think it's fair to ever compare any team to them because the Dodgers, give me a break.
I agree.
They are not a pimple on the fanny of what that team did. No one is. And so I think what is unfortunate when we talk about Yankee issues is they get compared. They can't be compared. Are you guys kidding?
Well, even their hatred with the Red Sox back and forth, the Red Sox hated them equally when we went through all of those. It's not like there's another team in the American, like you want to say the Astros don't even hate the Yankees, really. They toy with them. But it's not like there's other blood rivals going on that the Yankees don't show up. By the way, I've given this 35 minutes. He brought up that the Yankees have three catchers. They apparently have none tonight. Can somebody in Yankee land wake up? They have Ben Rice listed playing position D. For 35 minutes, nobody has fixed this tweet tonight.
What do you mean? Position D.
They have put out the lineup.
Position D.
Grisham, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Rice, Chisholm, Goldschmidt, McMahon, Volpe. The only thing missing on the positions next to these players is a catcher tonight, which I assume is Ben Rice. But this team that can't fundamentally do anything right in the baseball field, can't fundamentally type either. They are being trolled online right now because they listed Ben Rice as the, I guess, defenseman for the New York Yankees
tonight. In fairness, C and D are very close on the keyboard.
It's 35 minutes. You got a gold check. You can edit the tweet.
This is what you're angry about? A tweet that says Ben Rice is the D?
Because when the going is bad and things are going wrong, can you at least clean up your act on social media? Can we not have something that looks like I typed it, represent the Yankee lineup tonight?
I mean, it's not that big of a deal, bro.
It's not.
Take a deep breath.
It just adds to the organizational failures that are going on.
A tweet that says Ben Rice is the D instead of the C is the organization's dysfunction.
Come on!
Ross is in Bergen County. Hey, Ross.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, so really quick, A, I could come on here and B, complain about the Mets, but who else isn't at this point? Evan, I got to call you out a little bit. I heard you getting on Joe about stealing your Juan Solo stick.
No, I did not get on him. No, I said we think alike. Right. He's the last person who would steal anything because he doesn't listen to the Rico or the station.
But Evan, someone's got you beat by a month. My buddy Donnie 3114 on Twitter, you go to his that. He's got like the AI Grok pictures, everybody. I could give you the exact game. July 11th, that KC game. Remember, it was like 1-0 going into the desert, and they tackled down like 7. I think it was actually the game Cohen put out his last tweet. Keep in mind, he hasn't tweeted amidst this whole losing streak. He put out, you know, fan base ain't so mad when we're scoring runs, and all 7 came in the last 2 innings of a game that didn't matter at that point. And my buddy Donnie put out some tweets. Juan Solo, he's got the AI Grok pictures, everything. You go to like his media, Donnie 3114. I just got to shout him out.
All right, Ross, I'll give him credit. I mean, I've never taken credit for Juan Solo. It was an emailer to the Rico Bronya. It's not like I'm even the one taking credit.
Maybe, Juan Solo.
Maybe the emailer got it from him. And a little advice to Ross and his buddy there. You want to have credit. Cut it down to maybe 2 numbers instead of 7 numbers at the end of your Twitter.
That's a lot of numbers.
I mean, enough.
I almost thought it wasn't a real Twitter. Like, we're just making it up. Look, I think that now that you think about it, it's easy. Juan Solo just makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Licata on Friday was pissed at me for 15 minutes because he thought I was calling him Juan Solo because I think he just hangs out by himself. luckily, the first caller he took corrected him, and then I walked in like 15 minutes later because I was on the rewind button. I was like, bro, it's because of the solo home runs. And Sal's That's the best. Perfect. He's like, oh, okay. Sorry about that.
He totally stole Tommy's shtick all weekend, too.
So, can I defend Sal?
Okay.
Sal has been very positive about the Mets, much like Tommy has for the last year and a half. And so, Sal was even texting me over the weekend, and I was texting him about this, and it's all real. And his point was, because I know he was off today, so I guess I can explain his opinion, and then I think he's back tomorrow.
Yeah. Which sucks, because I think today would have been the day he could have declared the NL East over.
It could have been. But basically, here's what he wrote. I don't think he'd mind me saying this because it's just about the Mets. I'm sure he'll say it tomorrow. He said, Evan, you should know better. I've seen plenty of bleep Mets teams. This is rock bottom with this group, and they're still comfortably a playoff team with the potential to get hot in October. So he is kind of, I don't even say it's positive. It's similar to what I've also said, which is, yeah, I don't think this team is very good right now, and they've been mediocre for 95-plus games, and maybe I'm not as confident in the turnaround. But he understands the modern game of baseball where just get in.
No biggie.
I hate that answer from Sal. You cannot be a Mets fan that pumps up the chest, screams about King Cohen and the spending and we got this, and then sit there and go, but look, this is it. We're fine being a 6th wild card. No biggie. You got to raise the bar a little bit. And I think that's where the Mets fan hasn't matched the Yankee fan angst yet. You're right. Okay, get in, do whatever. But that's the bar now, really?
You're looking at it the wrong way.
No,
it's not because that's not true. Obviously, going into the season, even
now. He should
be
pissed, not just, oh, this is rock bottom.
Sean. I can't speak just for if he's pissed or not. I'm pissed at the team right now. But I still have the belief of if they can just get to the playoffs, they can get hot at the right time. Would that be a disappointing regular season if they're the 3rd wildcard team? Of course it would. But baseball expectations are now determined by what happens in October. What if they won the division and got knocked out in 2 straight games?
You'd say the same thing. You'd be angry.
But that's my point.
But they're telling you now they're going to get knocked out early. They've told you that.
You don't know that.
You do know that. That's the thing. You don't know it because you don't want to admit it, because you don't want to sit down and ever watch a playoff game and feel like you know the outcome. The season is over for these teams. Whether it's factually over
Come
or not,
on.
It is over.
Nah, it's being ridiculous. You're being ridiculous. Steve's in New Jersey. What's up, Steve? Hello, Steve. Steve going once. Steve is sold. We'll go to Sal on Long Island. Hey, Sal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
John, you're doing a great job, kid. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Thank you. Thank you,
Who would possibly tell him otherwise? I think everyone thinks Sean's fantastic.
I don't know. I don't know. But listen, I got a quick complaint. I got a complaint about the Yankees, like everyone else. But I got a solution. So let me get my quick complaint out, and then I'll offer a solution.
Go.
Aaron Boone got to go. He's good for nothing. He's good for nothing. He's no good. And listen, if I wasn't paralyzed from the neck down, I'd go down there and tell him myself he's good for nothing. But listen, I got a solution.
Yes.
He's got to bring his wife to work one day.
Wait, Aaron Boone?
He's a former Hooters. She's a former Hooters waitress. Aaron Boone's wife.
Okay. What does that mean? He's got to bring his wife to work?
Just a reminder, this guy started off his phone call saying, Sean Moresh, you're doing a great job. Seems like a real credible guy, too.
Do you think he's actually paralyzed?
Oh, you're still stuck on that?
Because that's sad if he is.
Well, it sounds like he's paralyzed from the neck down, is what he said. Because if he wasn't, he would go to the Yankee locker room himself to tell him Aaron Boone should be fired. I said this to you a week ago. And I don't know if it's going to happen. It certainly doesn't feel like it would happen. The Yankees are ripe to make an in-season managerial change. They really are. And I've never been one to scream that or say that. Probably mainly we're past the point because if you look at the history of managerial changes that lead to anything good, they usually happen in May or June. They're not happening in the middle of August. It just doesn't happen usually. But they are ripe in the whole let's try something area to say, let's fire the manager. And I thought if they got swept in the Texas series and Bednar did not get that last out, I thought it was possible. I thought it was on the table. But now they lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros. They're about to play a team they always beat in Minnesota. I mean, if they keep losing, I would do that. And I like Aaron Boone. It's nothing personal, but you got to try something. There is something positive to discuss. And that is the fact that we're going to have a big problem come January. And you know what that problem is? Jets and Giants look so good. What are we going to do if both teams are hosting the championship game? Are we going to move it to Saturday? Are we going to move it to Monday?
You guys can play Saturday. I'm playing Sunday.
Do they move the Jets and Giants out of MetLife Stadium? I mean, what happens if both teams are hosting championship games? What do we do? We'll get into the high beliefs from the Jet and Giant fan after a successful Saturday, plus more of your complaining baseball calls at 888-808-1019.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.